Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Former general manager of the Cleveland Browns and senior personnel director for the Raiders and pro personnel director for the Eagles, and now he's got a show on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. Michael Lombardi.
The Lombardi Line.
Yeah, the Lombardi Line is with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mike, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you being here. How different is it now looking at it from evaluating talent standpoint to are you doing a lot of the gambling angle on your show?
I've never made a bet in my life, but what I've done my entire life is handicap teams. I mean, that's typically what you do when you work in the NFL. You break down the opponent. You break down other teams' strengths, weaknesses. How do you match up to this team? What's the matchups look like? You know, if team Y plays team X, what do you think that's going to be? And so for me, it's just really been an extension of what I was doing in the National Football League, which is handicapping NFL teams and handicapping players and what team could win and what team could lose. So for me, it's a lot of fun. And the way we are in America today, Massachusetts just passed sports betting. I mean, it's a popular element that we're going to continue to grow. And I was fortunate to get on the ground 4 or 5 years ago.
Michael Lombardi with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What do you make of the Deshaun Watson suspension, and will the NFL appeal?
You know, here's what I would say, and I know on Twitter there's a zillion experts on law, on collective bargaining agreements, and on being a judge, but I don't have all the information. I trust Sue Robinson's credentials, okay? I trust that she understands her role in this. She's been a judge before. She's heard evidence. She understands the law, and she understands the collective bargaining agreement. So I don't know how I could question what she decided. 6 games, 8 games, 12 games, whatever she decided. To me, she's better informed than I am. I've not viewed all the evidence. I don't know all the evidence. I haven't heard what was presented to the grand jury. I haven't heard what was presented to the NFL in their investigation. I read her summary. She obviously went through it. She was in detail with it. So I think ultimately there's always a perception. There's a public outcry, you know, based on what information has come to them through the media outlets. And then there's also this physical evidence that she's reviewed. So I have complete confidence based on her credentials that she knows what she's doing.
Michael Lombardi with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. As a former general manager of the Cleveland Browns, would you have made a trade with as much stuff that was going on around Deshaun Watson, you know, given the talent, given the need for the quarterback position, but taking all of this other stuff on?
You know, I think that would have been a really hard thing for me to do, especially when I'm a big believer in culture and building your team around your best player must be also the best player on and off the field, right? So it would have been challenging for me. I would have never guaranteed $240 million. And look, let's face it, when Watson was meeting with the teams, it wasn't about recruiting and I want to play for your team. It wasn't about you know, I like your uniforms. It was about who's going to pay me and who's going to guarantee my contract. And, you know, the Browns, who are out of this derby, eventually got back in it. And they got back in it because they were the first team in the history of the NFL to do a fully guaranteed contract, unheard of, and broke really a lot of the rules that have been in place in terms of contracts, whether they're skill or injury guaranteed.
Mike Lombardi with us right now. I want to get back to, Mike, some of what's going on with the Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson. We know that there's still going to be some, you know, the NFL could appeal this. The Cleveland Browns right now need to weather the storm for a minimum of six games with Jacoby Brissett, who wasn't very good last year. But, you know, when you look at the construct of the roster, Mike, and how they play football, they got defense, they got a running game. I don't see any reason that Cleveland can't get it out of their 4-2, worst-case scenario, especially with four of those games being at home.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Look, the National Football League is really about avoiding losing. It's not winning, right? And that sounds really easy and simplistic, but it's really, that's the game. Who makes mistakes during the game, the turnovers, poor game management, all those things. If Cleveland, you know, who has one of the best running games in the league, last year they led the National Football League in yards per attempt. You know, they were fourth in yards gained. And that's with Nick Chubb missing two games. That's with Kareem Hunt missing eight games. And so they were very productive on the ground. Their offensive line is one of the best lines in football. D'Ernest Johnson comes in. He carries the ball 100 times. He averages 5.3 yards a carry. They had three running backs that averaged 4.9 or above a carry. That's pretty impressive. So they can run the ball. If you can run the ball, you can stop the run, and don't make mistakes and don't turn it over, and your defense is fairly good, you got a chance. Now, last year where they were terrible, and they have to improve, they're one of the worst teams in the red zone in all of football last year. When you got the ball in the red zone against Cleveland Browns, you might as well just put 7 points on the board. You were going to score. And so they've got to improve in that area. And with their talent on defense, they should be a better red zone team. They should be able to get the ball out quicker. They should be able to stop teams on the four-point plays, meaning if we stop them on this third down, they're going to kick a field goal. They're not going to score a touchdown. So I think they have a chance to do it. But the one thing I will say, there's a perception in the National Football League, and I wrote about this for VSiN.com, that, you know, you don't have to start fast to win. And if you go back all the way through to 2018, the Patriots were the last team that were a 500 team in September that won a Super Bowl. Most teams that play well in September play well later in the year. And I think that's going to be the challenge for the Browns. They can't start slow. They've got to start fast.
Do you see the Browns as a playoff team this year? And if so, Michael, do we know if Deshaun can play in the cold, and especially the cold in Cleveland?
Well, I know Amari Cooper doesn't like the cold. I know that for a fact. He'll take himself out of any game that dips below 36 degrees. So, you know, I don't know how that's going to work out. I don't know how the Brownies didn't know that Amari hates cold weather. Look, I think that this offense is tailor-made for Deshaun. I think we have gone way too far with RPOs in football. We have gone way too far with being a shotgun. I think when the quarterback is under center more, there's only one play in football, just one, where the quarterback can block somebody, and that is on bootlegs and nakeds, because somebody's got to run out there with him. Somebody has to go follow him because he's liable to run with the ball, and if you don't follow him, he can gain yards. So he takes away a man from the box. He takes a defender away, whether it's the end, whether it's the hang linebacker, whatever it is. So this offense is ideally suited for Watson. He's under center. He can run outside zone, run play action, throw the ball down the field, you know, make big plays. I think it's suited perfectly for him, and I think he'll excel in it, whether the temperature is 40 degrees or whether it's 20 below.
Michael Lombardi with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I want to get to the Texans. You've seen, you know, Mike, you pay attention to personnel moves, and I am curious from your time on the inside. It was a mess here. Bill O'Brien, tyrant, kind of some backstabbing with Brian Gang, got him out of here after a year being general manager. Hated to see that happen to a good football guy like Brian Gain, who didn't really get a chance. You know about Jack Easterby. Now we've had David Culley, who was a one-year sacrificial lamb. We had Nick Caserio in here with no first or second round picks. Now it's Lovie Smith, Nick Caserio. They just drafted a guard and a cornerback in the first round. Can you speak from the outside looking in about the change in just the viability of the Texans front office and coaching and roster now versus maybe what it was a year or two ago?
Well, I mean, I think ultimately they have some they have to develop some continuity. And, you know, having been with Nick, having been with Jack in New England together, you know, the vision that they share is important. You know, the Lovie Smith hiring to me is a little bit of outside of that New England program because Lovie comes from a different program. Not saying it can't work, but I think they all have to be on the same page. When they drafted Stingley in the first round, my first question was, how does this fit for a team that's going to play Tampa 2? You know, it's almost overkill. When you get a corner who's going to be a role corner, when you want to be when you're drafting them as high as you do, you want to play man-to-man. You want to be able to get off the field. Now the word is they're going to play. Lovie's going to kind of alter what they do, play a little bit, mix more man-to-man, take away the receiver. If that's the case, you know, they should improve from where they were last year. I say this all the time on my program. If Davis Mills were picked where Justin Fields was picked, if Davis Mills was picked where Mac Jones was picked, if he was picked where Zach Wilf or any of these guys, Trey Lance, we'd all be talking about how the Texans may have found their quarterback of the future. But because he was picked in the third round, everybody questions whether he's good enough. Look, this kid comes from great pedigree. Injuries have set him back. And I think that, you know, where they got him in the third round is he's proven last year that besides Mac Jones, he was the best rookie quarterback. Now, can he build on that? I think it's really important. He got sacked way too much. I think if you're Nick and Jack Easterby, you've got to fix this offensive line. I mean, you've got to fix this. You put money in Tunsil. You drafted Howard. You just drafted a guard in the first round. You got to protect your quarterback. You're going to have to do that. You're going to have to build your offensive and defensive lines to the level of what you're going to be able to produce. But with Mills at quarterback, I think it gives him a chance. He was impressive last year. But the guy had almost 400 attempts throwing the ball. You know, I mean, Trey Lance had 71. People think Trey Lance is going to solve all the problems.
Well, he's not solving all the problems right off the bat, but I will say it got a little bit – the news got better as they signed Debo Samuel. Are you shocked at how the league has gone from – a running back heavy league where running backs used to get paid that kind of went away after Chris Jones with the Tennessee Johnson. Titans, Chris Johnson and Adrian Peterson. Those are the last two big running back deals. Now it's completely switched to where running back value is all that it's about. Second contracts for running backs usually don't end well. And now wide receivers, the contracts, is that sustainable, Mike? The wide receiver contract plus the quarterback contract being top dollar quarterback, can your roster sustain that type of money at quarterback and wide receiver, you know, on one team?
You know, look, I mean, Zeke got a huge contract too. Now, I think this is good. Christian McCaffrey got a contract huge. Kamara did as well. But I think there's a definition here we've got to discuss first. Is if you're a weapon on offense, a weapon meaning you're Kamara, you average 9.6 yards per pass attempt. Or if you're, you know, Austin Eckler, an average 9.3. You can make plays in the passing game. You're catching 50 balls, 70 balls at almost a 10-yard average. You're not just a running back. You're a weapon. You can pay that. Where when you get in trouble is when you pay Zeke, who doesn't do anything in the run in the passing game, he averages 6 yards a catch. You can't pay that. You've got to be a weapon. You can't be a running back. To me, what I have, I was born and raised with Bill Walsh. And Bill Walsh always would say to me, the wide receiver's the last position you fix on the team when everything else is fine. So what I find hard to understand is when you draft the Samuels and you draft the Browns in these later rounds and you get good players in the second and third round, and Ron Wolf proved this in Green Bay, why are we always so in a rush to pay for the receivers that don't tilt the field, that really are not a number one? You and I could go through the National Football League and really on one hand label guys who are number one receivers. Right. That number one receivers meaning they can beat double coverage. Number one receivers meaning when the coverage rolls to them, they still convert third down. It's hard to define one receivers. But there's a lot of guys getting paid as two receivers that are really paid like one. And I think that's going to catch up to people. I think you got to do a good job of drafting them. I think you got to do a great job of developing them, much like Pittsburgh has always done.
Michael Lombardi here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The difference between Davis Mills and Trey Lance is what he's got around him. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo led them to the NFC Championship game and was a drop away from getting back to the Super Bowl. Michael, and Debo Samuel, the weapon. Debo said he doesn't want to play running back anymore. He doesn't want to have that role anymore. But now that he's got the contract, are the 49ers amenable to him just being wide receiver and not using him the way they did last year?
Well, I think if you study Debo really closely, you realize that he's an inside receiver. If Debo has to line up at X on the outside, he's not going to win very many routes out there. He's not a great route runner. But where Debo is incredible is when the ball is in his hands. And Kyle's challenge is, how do I get the ball in his hands? And so we decided that I just can't throw it to him all the time. Let me let him run. I think they're going to have some element of running in their game. I think he carried the ball enough last year that he makes a difference. He is so good yards after the catch, and that's going to help Lance. He is so good when he catches some inside slant or some inside route that he can then break a tackle and run with it. So however they do it, look, Lenny Moore did it for years at the Baltimore Colts. He's in the Hall of Fame. And Debo, what I would do if I were Kyle is I'd show Lenny Moore tape to this kid and say, look, this guy's in the Hall of Fame. You know, you could be exactly this player. And he was able to play running back and wide receiver in an era where they weren't catching a lot of balls.
That's Michael Lombardi right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well, continued success with your show, Michael, the Lombardi. What's it?
Lombardi Line. Mike, Lombardi Line. Are you truly on the air 7 days a week?
Well, I take off Tuesday and Wednesday in the off season, and during the season I just take off Tuesday. So I'm on 6 days a week starting in September. I do it from Monday through Friday. We're on from 12 to 2, and then on weekends we're on from 10 to 12. So we're right before the game. So look, it's when you get to talk about the NFL and football, life don't get much better than that.
No, it doesn't get much better than that. Yeah, just 2 hours? We need to do that. We're 3 hours. We're grinding every
grinding.
Grinding,
yeah.
Mike.
I mean, you guys are outworking me. You're kicking my butt. I mean, it's embarrassing.
Please tell my wife that, will you?
Yeah.
Because she doesn't believe not a minute of that.
No, mine doesn't either. Mine thinks I had to work a day in my life. She keeps wondering when I'm going to fix something.
You work with Bill Belichick. You've worked a day in your life.
Look, I work with Al Davis, and Al Davis is the king of all of them. And if he saw golf clubs in your car, you were getting fired. If he smoked a pipe or had golf clubs in your car with Al Davis, you were not going to be on the roster very long.
That's funny. Michael Lombardi right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We appreciate it, Mike. Thanks for
Mike.
Your time.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
All right, 9:17. Time for a quick one. 713-78. Good stories. Good stories. Time to talk about HR&P. Like, listen. You got to fire somebody like Al Davis? You think Al Davis worried about HR? No, but you have to. Al Davis didn't. You do. And if you've got a business and your HR is not, if you don't have HR, if you don't have a human resources, if you don't go about it the right way when you fire people, it could cost you. It will cost you. So the HR experts are over there at HR&P, and they take care of that business. We've called them. We've had to call them a few times about stuff that was going on. No, it wasn't Granado. It was someone else that we had to call them about. That's right. Should they have been called about me? Yes, absolutely. But have they been? No. So here's the deal, is if you need HR help, you got it. If you need payroll help, you got it. If you've got more than 15 or 20 employees and you're still doing your payroll yourself, you need HR&P. Let them take care of it for you, because you are not selling your widgets if you're worried about payroll and you're paying more than you have to, okay? Because when you get to 15, 20, 70, 80, 100 employees, do it economically. It's with the payroll company. HR&P. Do it with the best. We love them. You'll love them too. HRP.net, 281-880-6525.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Never in your wildest dreams. Never in your wildest dreams. In your wildest. You can hear the loudest screams coming from inside the screen. You a wild guy. Tell me what I gotta do to be that guy. Set a price, go down. She ever a black guy. Or do a. It's kind of crazy.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 922, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. We're going to talk some Texans football here in just a second, but let's get Will in here. Let's talk about Justin Verlander first. What's up, Will?
Hey, good morning, y'all. Big fan of the show, long-time listener. Must say it's quite exciting in the morning in Houston with those trades that we made yesterday during the game. But one question I want to pose to y'all, and I think I talked to the Killer Bees about this yesterday afternoon. Justin Verlander, chances are, is going to opt out of that last year, his contract. Now, if you're Jim Crane, what do you do? I mean, is it going to be purely dictated on the outcome of this season? For example, the Astros go to the World Series, they win it all. Do you re-sign Justin Verlander to a Max Scherzer-type deal, which is like at that three-year, $120 million deal, or do you let him walk? Want to get y'all's thoughts on that? Y'all have a good one.
I don't know that you're going to give him three. I don't think Crane's going to give him 3 years, 130, whatever Scherzer's making.
No.
I don't see it. If you win the World Series, you go, hey, thanks, Justin. Appreciate it.
I think Justin's contract, once again, two at 75 is probably the starting point, more than likely. You have to think that. I mean, he's going to get above, who is it, not Scherzer, who's the other pitcher? I'm trying to remember the other pitcher. That 36 is the mark below Scherzer. So I think JV is going to be like 70. Two at 75 would make some sense. 37.5.
Yeah, I think a 2 year deal. I don't know that. You know, with Verlander, I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to get three and I'm going to get over 100.
He could shoot for two for 40, two at 80.
Right.
Does he want to keep playing for three more years?
I don't know. Well, the way he's pitching right now.
Well, look at how he's signed. He's been signing these 2 year deals in the past. Why would he go to three here? I don't think it's about money. For him, it's about the number, but I don't think it's about duration. I think his APY, his average per year, is going to be important to him. But other than that, I don't think he'll do anything other than 2 year deals. This has been his last two deals. He hasn't gone over 2 year deals. I think he'll do 2 year deals, and that lets him reassess. 3 years, that's a lot longer commitment, three versus two. So you can wrap your head around two. Three is a lot tougher when you could always retire and leave money on the table. But I think his average per year, because the longer you go, if he gets into his 40s, it may drop the APY a little bit. So I wouldn't be shocked if 2 at 80 ends up being Justin. John, why would you not pay $40 million a year for this? Honestly, why would a major league team not – why would the Yankees not say, oh, we'll give Verlander $42 million a year right now, 2 years, $84 million. He's going to win another Cy Young potentially.
Yeah.
He won one in 19. He's going to win another one in 22. That's sandwiched between the 2 years he didn't play. The last 2 years he's played, one, he won a Cy, and the other one, he's got a great chance of winning a Cy. This is one of the greatest years he's ever had as a pitcher. Why would a team not say, whoa, Astros, cool on your 2 year, $75 million deal. We'll offer, why would a team like,
the Dodgers.
Yeah, the Dodgers. Not say, listen, we'll make it work for you. We'll do 2 years for $86 million. We'll, especially if they could get some type of contract relief from Trevor Bauer. I don't know what's going to happen with that because they're still on the hook, right? So I'm not sure what happens with the Trevor Bauer situation. Maybe Major League Baseball will make some kind of allowance to get his contract off. I don't know. But I do know that although they shouldn't, it should be a buyout situation. Trevor Bauer was not found guilty of anything. Trevor Bauer should get all of his money. It's guaranteed.
He's getting all this money.
He's going to get all of his money. He's going to have to pay him off.
Yeah.
What you may do is pay him out and allow him to make whatever he makes with another team. You may come to some kind of agreement like that so he doesn't have to just sit out and not pitch anymore. But if you're a major league team, why would you take a look at a pitcher who's got a sub two? It's not his whip is – if Justin Verlander was 29 years old, we would be talking about a 10-year, $350 million deal for Justin Verlander if he was 28. Why would you not take this? He's a .8 whip. He's not even a .9. He's in the eights. He's got an ERA sub 2. He's on pace to win over 20 games. Why would that not warrant over $40 million a year?
It will. It will. Because that's what and they may say, we'll give you shares of money. That's good. That's 43 something.
I think it's 42.6, I think. But it's, yeah. Why would you not, if you're his agent, why would you not say, no. We'll take two at 85 or 86, $43 million a year. Does Jim Crane do that? I mean, it's short term.
He's 43.3. It's a 3 year, $130 million a year. 43.3.
He's younger than JV, not by a lot. Actually, no. He's about the same, isn't he?
I think he is. He is 38. He's the youngest.
How old is Verlander right now?
He's
38, I believe.
39. What is Verlander?
Justin Verlander is 39 years. No, he's 30. Yeah, he's 39 years old. He turned 39 in February.
Yeah. So
if you're his agent, you just say, we want exactly what Scherzer's making and that's that. No more discussions.
Yeah, that's it. And you know what? He deserves it. But I wouldn't do 3 years with him. I wouldn't do 3 years. I'd do two. Now, Verlander might say, no, we're going to do three. That's a,
not.
No.
We're going to do two.
928, we'll talk Texans on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, right now, you are talking about your patio.
Talking about Texas Custom Patios, the difference in outdoor living. Huge difference. I've seen a lot of companies put patio stuff together. It started when I was looking for a patio company myself. I ran into Texas Custom Patios because a listener said, hey, why don't you check this out? Well, it wasn't even a listener, somebody on Twitter, because I was looking for a patio company. And I had five different ones sent to me, just wasn't a fan. I just wasn't feeling it. Once I got to Texas Custom Patios, I was like, whoa, let me see if I can afford this. And what happened was I sat down. I said exactly what I wanted, and what happened was Stephen Schell and his crew, they basically designed what it was that I was looking for. They understood how to maximize my space. I got my television, my surround sound system, got my fans in there, a fire pit. Now I'm going to go back and add my outdoor kitchen retroactively, and I wish I would have done it at the time because you can get it financed, and that's something that makes a really big difference where you can get exactly what you want now, and you also have the value. Right now, not only the value in your quality of life, but when it comes time to sell your home, dollar for dollar, you maintain that value because that's how high quality the build out is. And of course, that's how highly functional, enjoyable your outdoor living space and outdoor kitchen is going to be. Make sure that you go to the website, texascustompatio.com, find a before and after for you that makes sense. texascustompatios.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
She see money all around me. I look like I'm the man. Yeah, but I was down.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN. Cleaning up a couple of things. Musgrove already got his deal, $100 million extension. And Deebo Samuel is going to be a running back. He actually gets paid. He can make $650,000 more a year with a certain amount of rushing yards.
Well, so he's not going to be a running back. What they're doing is they're basically saying, okay, this is your concern. Because you make more as a wide receiver than a running back.
Yeah.
So obviously what he's doing is saying, because I'm telling you, his value, we talked about this with Daniel Jeremiah yesterday on Move the Sticks. I talked about it. His value is not the same when he's not running the football. He's not as good a wide receiver as he is a wide receiver running back. And so basically his complaint is, well, you're going to knock me out of my career earlier by having all these carries. And so what they're doing now is basically saying, okay, look, we'll also pay you a little bonus. We're going to get a little something extra if you run.
He can make $650,000 for each season. He has 380 or more rushing yards.
That's unlikely to be earned, I would say. I don't think he'll get there. Did he get that close last year? Maybe I'm wrong.
He rushed the ball 59 times for 365 yards and 8 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
He also gets paid. He can earn $150,000 bonus for in any season in which he scores at least 3 rushing touchdowns. That's likely to
be fair. That one I could see happening. His rushing touchdowns last year a lot of times happened with distance. They're not by the goal line. So that'll be interesting. I don't think he'll ever get to 800 rushing yards personally unless they're going to basically turn him into Cordero Patterson, who now is considered a running back, which took away a lot of his fantasy football value. I don't see them using Deebo Samuel like that. I can't see that. I think they'll use him how they're using him now. I don't think they'll give him enough carries where he gets to 800 rushing yards. That would have to be like 150 carries. I can't see that happening. You see him getting.
He averaged over 6 yards of carry last year.
Yeah. Do you see him getting 9 carries a game? That's a lot.
Let's get Pena in here before we talk a little Texans here. What do you say, Pena?
Hey, I wanted to talk to Astros. Okay. So, I'm not scared of the Yankees on the moves they made. I'm not scared of them at all. I would have been a little bit, you know, if they would have got Soto and Castillo, but they didn't. It looked like they settled for less. And I'm not mad about Click getting Mancini and Vasquez. You know, it looked like the Nationals wanted a lot for Josh Bell, and I wouldn't have sent that many people for a rental. But I like the moves. I'm looking for them to make a center field move now. Jake isn't really looking that good right now. I don't know if his shoulder's still bothering him or what. And McCormick, he's on and off. Give me y'all's opinions. And, John, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaving to Cabo tomorrow. I mean, not Cabo. I'm leaving to Punta Cana tomorrow. And should I get hammered before or should I just get hammered when I get there? Thank you and have a great day.
You can only choose one. You can't say both.
Before, during, and after.
You can't do that. He's asking you specifically before he goes or once he gets there.
No, you don't want to be on the plane. You start drinking on the plane. That's when you start drinking.
Okay, so before.
Well, I mean, you start drinking. It doesn't mean you're blasted before. You start drinking on the plane.
No, what about the airport?
When you get to the airport, usually there are a bunch of bars right outside. You know, a lot of Mexican cities, there are bars right outside.
Well, he's saying, but does he start drinking when he gets to the airport?
I'm assuming he's going. You can do that if you're early enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you get on the plane and give me beer. You just touch your phone. They got you.
It's a little more. That's expensive at the airport regardless.
Yeah. I mean, but you're going to Punta Cana. You don't care about money right now.
Yeah. He may get a hookup over there.
What do you mean a hookup?
Well, it may be an all-inclusive thing. He may have already paid for it. He's good. Maybe.
It could be. If it's an all-inclusive thing, then maybe you wait. Yeah, but you got to have a little primer in you.
Yeah.
Why would you go on a vacation and not?
Well, I think he want to know when he starts getting drunk.
Oh, well, it probably.
Drunk on a
plane is not great. You want to be
at
the
high altitude.
Yeah, you're in the taxi where you're like falling.
No,
you don't want any of that. You start drinking, and then you get stupid drunk when you're there and you got a place to crash.
You don't have to get stupid drunk. "Quote unquote stupid drunk."
Well, why are you going on vacation then?
Well, it's not to hike, obviously.
Ooh.
That's why you go on vacation, John, to hike.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's the dumbest vacation I've ever heard.
It's not a vacation; it's a trip.
It is. Yeah, it is. It's not a vacation.
It's an endurance challenge.
As per Ken Rosenthal, the Astros not done yet. Actively searching for a center fielder.
So
Cubs outfielder Ian Happ, Royals outfielder Michael A. Taylor. Athletics outfielder Ramon Laureano are amongst the available.
Who's the lowest level guy? And who's the medium level guy out of that
group? I wouldn't
mind
Hap.
Who's the medium level guy who doesn't take, whose contract is up? Hap?
Hap, probably.
Yeah.
Laureano's the lowest.
They're not going to go lowest. They're going to go mid.
I wouldn't mind having Laureano back.
They're going to go mid.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind Hap either. Or to Michael A. Taylor. That's fine. Whatever. Do it. Hey, we got to hear from Davis Mills today. Davis Mills
and Laremy Tunsil
is out there getting better. Davis Mills says he's already better.
I feel really good. I think I've developed a lot since the end of last season. I mean, I think I felt the progression at the end of last year and then really taking into this offseason. The momentum and stacking on it has allowed me to come out here and start playing really fast at the start of training camp and throughout OTAs. So, I mean, I'm just excited to keep progressing.
Yeah, that's good. The kid's going to be good. I mean, I don't know what the kid can say to you to convince you that he's going to be a player. Whatever. He is going to be a good player. I forgot to ask Michael Lombardi what he thought of Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, those comments by Greg Cosell that Garoppolo would be the backup here, that Davis Mills is a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo.
He actually would be the backup from a standpoint of you want to see the most you can get out of Davis Mills, and then you let him walk and you probably get a third round. And see, that's the thing. You wouldn't give up more than a fourth for Jimmy Garoppolo at most But the Texans are not in a position where they're going to win right away. So I would say, you know, I think the real question would be, what does San Francisco get for Jimmy Garoppolo? He's got a bad shoulder right now. I just, looking at what Baker, what was had for Baker Mayfield, I don't think the market's going to be great. But that's a whole Jimmy Garoppolo conversation. Davis Mills, now this isn't what I expected to hear. Laremy Tunsil yesterday was discussing, I don't know that we, actually we don't have what Laremy said, but he, I'll let you hear what he said about Kenyon Green. Okay, the second pick of the draft, the offensive lineman, Kenyon Green. He plays right next to Kenyon Green, so he knows a little something about Kenyon Green. Now, listen, do not – you must pay attention right now if you want to hear this answer. Okay. Laremy, what do you think about Kenyon Green?
So far in camp?
Dog.
Thoughts about Davis Mills, his growth from last year to this year, and what he's bringing to you guys?
Dog.
Mention the word dog.
Damian
Pierce.
Dog.
Okay. It's really loud in the background. Sounds like there was a mower or a weed eater. But he just
which
said...
Which happened to us quite a bit when we were out
actually,
there.
Yeah, actually, that could have been that. Mm-hmm. But he basically said, what do you think of...
Kenyon Green.
Kenyon Green. Dog. What do you think of what you've seen from Davis Mills so far?
Dog.
Damian Pierce. Dog. He was also later asked about Laremy Tunsil.
Dog.
So... All four of them, dog. I've never heard dog with Davis Mills.
I've heard giraffe.
Well, yeah. When I first heard him say that, I thought, okay, cool. He thinks Davis Mills is becoming a dog. That's good. That's one of the highest compliments you can pay somebody in football. And then when I heard him say it about everybody he was asked about, I realized, okay, he just doesn't want to do this. He also wanted to point out that there was 90% participation at an off season. He was asked about off season participation. He goes, 90%. I was there. He mentioned he was there.
Wait a minute. He was there? When was he there? I don't remember that.
At off season participation. He said he was there. He was also asked about whether or not he feels when did he start feeling 100%? He said right now. So he's finally at 100%.
So that nail that he broke last offseason.
Well, it was a whole broken finger.
It was a broken finger.
It wasn't a nail.
I thought he hurt his nails and he had to get a mani pedi, and it took him about 11 weeks.
No, that's not what it was. I would go to his audio again, but it's so loud and garbled. I'd rather not do that. I do want to hear from Lovey though. About this may be interesting to you about the tackle position.
Yep,
Lovey was asked about the tackles. Now, I would say conservatively that offensive tackles has been considered a position of need in a manner of speaking. Not huge when Laremy Tunsil's in place. Titus Howard still has to play better. But Lovie Smith really has strong opinions about the tackle group now.
We talk a while about what separates Laremy. It's the reason why we pay him more than anybody else on our football team. He's a not good player. He's a special player, a special man. It's his presence around. But when I talk about the tackle position, Titus is a good player. Cedric, Charlie, we feel like we have a strong four with Declan's coming up also. Maybe our strongest position on our team.
Cedric Abui, former first rounder from Texas A&M. So he's talking about Charlie Heck, Cedric Abui. I don't think he mentioned Max. I don't think he mentioned Max, what's his name, at all.
Sharping
at all. Might as well be what's his name because he's probably not going to be on the roster. He didn't even mention Max Sharping. He believes that's one of the strongest groups on the team.
And it's
Cedric Abui in a second year of, is this second year or third year actually with Charlie Heck? It's second year. That could really, that might be one of their better positions, especially if Titus Howard gets a little bit better. Now, I thought this was interesting. I'm not sure what the context of the question was, but somebody asked him what would be going on in the key plays of the game, like whether or not he's play call. I don't know what the question was, but I almost wonder if it was a David Culley thing where there are going to be people on the headsets. But listen to how pissy Lovie Smith gets here when this question's asked about, you know, his involvement in the key elements of the game and 2-minute drill.
In the end, I'm going to be in charge of all those two-minute situations like everything else. We're no different. How to approach it, situation come up, we make decisions. Don't look too much into that, all right?
Don't look too much into that, all right?
I mean, that's kind of disrespectful. You're the head coach. The head coach makes
two-minute
decisions,
I know, but I don't know what the question
decisions,
was.
Though. I mean, I could see where he'd be a little, wait a minute. Okay, I'm the head coach. What do head coaches do? They make decisions.
Then he should have said, I'm not David Culley.
No, he should not have said, I'm not David Culley.
Because David Culley didn't.
That's disrespectful to David Culley.
That's literally what they did.
I know,
they were
but
on the headphones.
Okay.
They were on the headphones.
When you take over for
and
somebody.
Sometimes I would listen, and I would listen to what Romeo and that's what David Culley said. Sometimes I would listen to Romeo, and I'd listen to Nick, and I'd say, huh, that's pretty good, they've got going on here. Like, literally, that's what happened.
That ain't what he's doing.
No, I know.
And
that's why I got pissed off.
Well, he said
it's not disrespectful to Culley. It actually happened to David Culley. Well, it was disrespectful, but it still actually happened.
No, it actually happened. And you know what, Lovey's like? I ain't David Culley, okay? I ain't. But he said it without saying it. You don't say it, but you ain't David Culley. And don't ask me again who's making decisions around here. In 947 ESPN 97, I need you to make a decision. I need you to make a decision about your dip, okay? Because your dip is gross. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. I don't dip, never have. I got it spilled the dip juice in my books, and I had to throw the book out right away when I was in college, and I'm like, you people are gross. Well, I'm going to tell you this. She does not like you dipping. She just doesn't. And here's the deal. She won't care one little bit if you've got this hemp pouch from Artisan Grange. Artisan Grange is making a pouch of hemp with hemp inside and CBD oil. And now you've got all kinds of different flavors, ice mint, dark mint, espresso, you've got citrus, you got berry, you got tobacco. You like it? Do you like the tobacco taste? It's what you want. You need something where you were always dipping. You got that as well. And yet it's safer. It's better for you. All of these things are happening. And you are not risking your life doing this stuff. Because, yes, you are risking your health if you're dipping. Not with this, though. It's a new way to dip with hemp. No tobacco, no nicotine. Go to 975dip.com. That's 975dip.com.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, News of the Weird brought to you by Simple Seats. Better prices, no fees. It is that simple. Hey, Lance, 25%, a survey says 25% of people, guys would dump their date for ordering boneless chicken wings. Would you dump your date for ordering boneless chicken wings?
I mean, she's basic. But I also heard that Gen Z is like huge in the bone. They're having to change. I read a little brief, quick hit article about how fast food is having to change to boneless because that's what the Gen Z people like. Yeah. Also known as iGen, that's what they want. They want boneless, and so more
that's
people.
Stupid.
So I don't think you should dump her. You just see how things go. But I wouldn't marry her.
No,
I wouldn't
you
wife her up. But let's see how things go for one or two dates. You know what I mean? Like, well, she's kind of basic. So
you'd rather have a girl that likes bone in.
Yeah. It's more flavor.
Another survey.
You could do more with that if you'd like, John.
It did enough, I thought.
No, you did. You didn't.
Another survey says boomers say watching porn, swinging, and Viagra are keys to a happy relationship. Do you think those are keys? Watching porn,
swinging is more aggressive than the
and
other two.
And Viagra. Keys to a happy relationship.
Viagra. Okay, well, yeah, that helps you on that. That's a performance enhancer.
That's a performance enhancer.
Porn, okay, well, that, you know, gets you going or whatever. Swinging is trading your partner around.
Right.
That seems more aggressive than
sharing,
the other two.
Sharing. It's called sharing.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
That seems really aggressive.
That seems aggressive.
Boomers, don't do that. Y'all get up.
Georgia man apparently called in a bomb threat to avoid work And now he's ordered to pay $40,000 in restitution. Do you think it was worth it to avoid work that day?
No, not for 40K.
40 large.
Were you going to make 45,000? Because if you weren't going to make 45,000 for that day, it looks like a huge disaster.
Yeah.
They take, I think they're taking bomb threats pretty seriously these days. I don't think they like.
No, they don't like.
Come on, dude. You know it's a joke. I just did it to get off. Yeah. Well, I guess you shouldn't have done that.
You know, they're having a heat wave in Spain right now. Yeah. The prime minister tells workers to stop wearing ties to save energy. Do you think you can save energy by not wearing a tie?
I don't. It's got to be more than that.
I don't.
Do people in Spain wear ties at all?
Yeah, people in Spain wear ties, yes. But apparently the prime minister's not now because he's saving energy. How do you save energy?
Is that energy or is that energy? I don't want to tie a tie. I'm saving energy.
I don't know. And also in Spain, apparently they have a new campaign that says every woman's body is beach ready.
I've seen this, yeah.
I'm not sure they're right about that. I'm just not sure about that, what with those pictures they got on there. That's not it. That's not what I think. Apparently Beyonce has to change the lyrics to her song.
Yes, first it was Lizzo, and now it's Beyonce.
Now Beyonce.
Same word, by the way.
Same word.
You can say it.
Spaz.
Yeah.
That's
it was
not
a trick. You're not allowed to say it. It's an ableist slur.
If you go spastic,
it's
that's
an ableist
not
spur. Ableist slur. Ableist
what
slur.
What is that? Ableist.
You ableist slur at somebody?
What does ableist slur mean, by the way? I'm not
a slur of somebody who's able-bodied. You.
Oh.
You just slurred.
Ableist slur?
Disabled. Spaz. I don't know. I'm not giving up spaz. Y'all can just do what you want.
Yeah, I can I'll say just, spaz if
you
I want.
Get rid
spaz,
of me, you
spaz,
can get rid
spaz,
of me.
Whatever.
I'm not getting rid of spaz, but Beyonce said yes. And now she is a queen because she has done what people told her to do.
Well, she is the queen. Finally, Drake apparently is defending his short private jet flights. He's saying the plane was empty, so we're not using as much fuel. Isn't that worth? Isn't that? I think that's worse. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Did you see, like, they said that last year, what's her name? A famous singer.
Yes, Kylie. Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. She took 188.
She led the league.
Led the league in 188 private jets.
Led the league in carbon footprint is what I think the thing was. Yeah.
100. You know what?
170.
Everybody's upset with Taylor Swift because she's taking private jets. You know what? Taylor Swift can afford private jets. Who can you can't. That's why you're upset with her.
Well,
you would
think,
take all those trips,
well,
too.
Well, some people aren't mad that she can afford to do it. They're saying, why do that?
Because she needs to get from one place to another. Well, screw you all.
There's planes with the bigger planes than other people.
Yeah, but they have other people on them. And Taylor Swift ain't about that life.
Well, this whole thing is about carbon footprint. It's not about, is Taylor have enough money to fly private? I don't think that's what people are mad about. Oh, she's flying private, and I'm not. Although, in real life, they probably are thinking that.
Yeah.
They just won't say it.
No.
It's about the carbon footprint.
Stop.
I wish I was.
You know, Deshaun Watson trying to get all those girls. Yeah, you're fat and ugly and old. You ain't getting no women. Okay, stop already. Anyway, so 9:57, we're done. It is time for Vanessa and Gallant next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You have a great day, everybody.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real.
Let's go!
Fun. Sports.